This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Chuck is coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington this Monday morning. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. We'll talk about Major League Baseball's latest proposal with Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post coming up at 9:20. But let's go to our buddy John DePompa. We haven't heard from him in a few weeks. Has been a while.
John? What's up, John?
Hey, boys. Hey, how we doing, fella?
John DePompa, what's
John?
Up?
John, what's up, buddy?
How's your driveway looking at the window, Lurch?
Yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, it's the nubbiest thing that has happened to any junkie in the past 20 years that you share a driveway.
I know. Well,
I can't stop. I think about it a lot.
You know what? We were impulse buyers when we were looking for a house. The house is so nice, but that was the one negative. The one drawback was sharing the driveway.
What are you going to do? Would you never do it again?
I'll never do it again.
Of your needs. It literally had everything.
I'll never do it again, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt.
What's the biggest problem?
It's also like a scarlet letter of nubbiness. Like, well, looking at it, it's like
the biggest problem is when you have people over, they can't park in your driveway. They have to park on the street. And we have a long driveway, but you never know if the neighbor's going to back out and want to leave.
It's a very good point.
I mean, he's very cool. I'll just text him and say, "Dude, I'm going to have some people over. Let me know if you're leaving." I'll just tell them to move their cars, but that's a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
So you're having the wealthiest lawyer in PG County come over to your house, and he has to play Frogger just to come into your house.
Correct. Correct. I know. It's very nubby. I don't know what to tell you.
I can't. Yeah. I was calling because Drabby hit on a point that's been bothering me for about 5 years now. And wow. Valdez is slowly trying to usurp the sound effects from Cake.
Really?
I mean, it's been ongoing. Yes. And this has bothered you?
Yeah. It's something you think about?
Yes. Well, which ones are his go-to? Like, I don't even know who's playing what.
So he never put, "What do you think about that, Ricky?" in the Cake sound effect machine.
That's true.
He just plays it.
He hoards that from Rick Neuheisel. I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, Cake's sound machine is a time capsule from 2012 and in the past.
Right.
And Valdez, is anything 2013 and newer is Valdez.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great sound effect. Yeah. It's not used enough, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, Valdez is juggling too many things. He shouldn't have to do that. It was Cake's job.
Yeah, it's like taking the paintbrush out of Picasso's hand. Is what it's like
doing.
Are you saying
that Valdez is not as good a painter?
He's all right. He might be Bob Ross, but we're talking about Picasso here. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
He's an all-timer.
Right.
Well, the problem is it's impossible to get the machine over to Cakes' house.
No, no. The problem is the junkies don't care about anymore at all about the show.
That's not true.
But
it is true. You guys are kind of winding down your career. You're winding down your lives.
We're winding down our lives.
We're trying not to.
I hope I'm not winding down my life.
Is the problem. If Cakes cared, he would say, "Valdez, give me the clips." But he doesn't because he's Cakes. He doesn't care.
Well, the problem is that at this point, while we're working from home, it would be, I guess, a little bit more complicated to get it.
It's a moot point at this point, yeah. until you get back in the studio.
Well, I also thought we would be back probably by now or a little bit earlier. I didn't expect us to still be broadcasting.
It's going to be all summer.
From home until late May.
It's going to be five months.
The other thing is, it's very labor intensive. This is a true radio insider. I think that there are a million clips on the replay machines that can't be used because, you know, times have changed and they would be insensitive.
There are a few that
are
on there.
They haven't been deleted.
That are very risque. They're
gone.
Yeah, we've deleted the ones that we can't.
Almost all of those are gone.
Are there open banks like to?
Yeah,
keep?
we have open stuff. Although Chad,
like, why
Chad
doesn't
shares the.
Why doesn't take half? I don't live in this county. I'm from PG.
I've never had access to that.
Yeah, that's a great one.
But Chad shares the instant replay with Cakes, the second one that he has.
Yeah.
So the first one is full, and then that has all of the older stuff on it. That thing looks like it's on its last leg. Then the second one is shared with Chad. So I don't want to, put something in and then go over or tape over his whatnot alert or whatever he plays.
Isn't it true that the replay machines are so, like, early 2000s, like with computers and technology, there's really no need for it, right?
There should be a better way, but Cakes is such a robot that he needs a replay machine.
Live Cakes sound drops, though.
Well, he's memorized where every single one is.
The live drops, like, to me Cakes, are good.
I like when Cakes channels the Grease Man and just does it himself.
I try.
Hop over the game.
But Eric, the technology now is everybody just has them on iPads, and you can have a 10 million clips in there.
Exactly.
Ooh, right.
I'm going to do that.
Right, on your computer, or desktop, iPad, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
Brad's
so why
the CEO,
doesn't,
isn't he?
So why don't we do that? Why doesn't Cakes have a, he's got a million Apple products.
You guys are getting distracted. You're losing the point here. Valdez is stealing the clips for his own shine.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Right? I'm trying to find a way to get him back to Cakes.
He won't put them in there. Oh. He won't delete old things. He wants to have full control of the chuckles.
Right.
But it only bothers you. It doesn't bother Cakes.
I mean, how would I get a recording of Bob from Fairfax saying he's very uncomfortable on the air? How would I get that if I don't get it from the old replay? I can't just go to an iPad and download that. It's very proprietary.
Cakes is also he's non-confrontational, so he's just not going to bring it up. Like, even if he quietly, like, he laments to Amy that he's upset that Valdez is stealing half his shit.
Well, if you think that ever happened,
no,
you're nuts.
That's all for him.
There's no chance he cares.
Yeah. I'm sure I go to Amy and tell her, it makes me sad that Valdez is hoarding audio clips.
Hey,
by the way, on Saturday.
You could use a drop there. Makes me sad, that's all.
Makes me sad, that's all. By the way, on Saturday, Amy made a very brief appearance on the casting couch.
She did.
I think she realized that she was on and she darted out so quick.
Right.
Oh,
she
really?
She was just on the edge of the casting couch. And Cakes was doing our bit with Max Major, I believe.
Yeah.
And Cakes had to go find, like, a household item, just any household item in his house. So he left.
It's definitely a spoon.
Yeah, he went to pretty
100%. It was a spoon.
Yeah. He's 5 feet away from his kitchen. But Amy got it, and then she looked at the computer and saw that she was on screen, and she couldn't have gotten off quicker.
Well, at least she was wearing her clothes, unlike that Puerto Rican guy that had the hot chick, with no pants on.
Right.
Yeah.
That would have been. But you can check that out, thefandc.com.
So, John.
Well, John DePompa, you make a good point. My only question, though, the theory about that he wants his shine in ADs, it's not like when he plays.
He shaved his head for no reason.
Okay.
He shaved his head just so you talk about
him. That's a great point. That's a great point. He knew he'd get a segment.
That's
right.
Selling out.
He's on to something.
I didn't put it in there. I didn't want any attention brought to it because I think I look ugly.
You knew it was going to come up.
You knew it was a segment.
I thought I could get away with it since you guys are broadcasting remotely.
You knew your boyfriend would say something.
To defend Valdez for a second, when he plays those sound bites, though, we don't necessarily know he's the one playing them.
I know which one.
It's control. He wants the control.
Who else is going to play him?
Yeah, it's one of two people.
But I'm not paying attention to who's hitting what button.
It's not like we go, hey, good job for playing from PG County.
Right, but
if you care, that's because you don't care about the show. I care. Matt cares. Drabby cares.
Hey, John, what else bothers you, John, besides my shared driveway and all the clips?
Yeah, the audio clips.
I mean, there's the classic. There's the droopy power lines, which are really tilting.
Right.
I go back to those.
Right.
What else? Cakes's neighbor has 8 boats in his front yard. Looks like a marina.
No, it's usually 2 maximum. Most of the time, 1.
Cakes's neighbor's front yard looks like Rom's wife.
What about the Zoom broadcast? Does anything tilt you from the last couple of months as we've been doing shows remotely?
I mean, just the COVID talk. I'm over it. I don't
care. A
lot
of people get tilted when I don't use a mic stand. Who the hell cares?
People care.
I never watch you guys. I'm a listener. I'm not a watcher. I work. I can't
well, we
watch.
Need more of you because we got a ton of watchers, not right. enough listeners.
Need more listeners.
We need more listeners. People need to go back to listening again, too.
Get back in their cars.
Maybe if Cakes had all the drops, it would be a rating surge for you guys.
it might be. You never know.
Maybe this week on Game Show Wednesday, we can play the drop game. You can do that.
Ooh. All right. So you got to name the drop.
Of course, we have to have a prize first, and I haven't seen one of those in weeks.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Right. I think Paisano's is going to close up shop. They've given all their pizzas away.
Is John
Thank you
still
to Paisano's,
there?
By the way, for the $25 gift card.
Yes.
Right. Paisano's is great.
Paisano's is killing it. We love them.
John, are you back at work? Are you going to people's homes with your mask and fixing their furniture?
Yeah, I am. I never really stopped working, EB. I cut back.
Nice.
We cut back on going on the road for a little bit. I missed about a week of work when it first shut down, but then we realized that everybody in the world is essential, so like there's a million technicalities there,
right?
You know,
although
but,
my wife sent me a list and then but car washes are still closed,
right?
What
I don't understand.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I've worked, I'm very fortunate. Our company as a whole had to cut back a little bit because the work has slowed down, but I've been able to work the whole time, so I'm very fortunate there. And
good.
Yeah. So we're slowly getting back into the swing of things. You know, being careful. We're being smart. We're not
John,
being dumb.
John, you'll like this story because my wife does a lot of stuff you do. It's like she was refinishing and sanding this big ass table.
Stealing
right?
my bit.
She's stealing your bit. So we went over and picked up this table from this wealthy couple. All right, the house is. I mean, they got a ridiculous pool. It's probably 8,000 square feet. Right.
You're coveting.
And the table's sitting out in the driveway. So my wife and I go pick it up, and the table weighs 5,000 pounds. All right. I think I cracked a rib picking it up and putting it in the truck.
Pretty fun. Mm-hmm.
And I said, I hope you're charging a lot for this. She goes, yeah, I am. I said, so I finally asked her, what are you charging? She goes, $1,000. I said, sweet. All right. That makes it worthwhile because we transported it. We picked it up. We got it out of the truck. It's heavy as balls. And I got to transport back to them. Right. I finally got it out of her. She didn't charge $1,000. She's charging $200.
You're kidding.
Oh my God.
I said, what are you doing?
A little insight.
Yeah,
to pick up, we charge $225 just for pickup and delivery.
I know. That's what I told her.
To count the refinishing cost.
Exactly. I said, and plus they're rich. They're beyond wealthy. They have FU money. They'll pay $1,000 like
losing
that.
Losing you money.
I'm just so frustrated.
How many hours will she work on it?
She's been working on it for like 2 weeks.
Oh my God! For $200?
Yes, I'm so bitter.
Passion project.
Why don't you have her go drive for Instacart?
Because she, I don't know, she should. She'd make more.
Yeah.
I just get so frustrated with the woman because she can be charging so much more for her services. John, you would have charged $1,500 minimum for this table.
For sure, yeah, for sure.
And they would have paid it
when you see the house.
And they would have paid it.
All right, John, dude, we got to run.
Yeah, Ashburn. Ashburn's yep. the high cost district.
Correct.
Yeah. You upcharge there.
And she's charged because she feels bad for charging too much. Oh, my God.
Well, she made a whopping 200.
Well, yeah, she hadn't got paid yet.
In the red.
Yeah. I got to freaking lift that thing and put it in the truck.
Yeah.
Like much more in the red. Valdez scalp for her.
All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate
all right,
it, buddy.
Be safe.
John.
All right, man.
Talk to
all
you
right,
soon. Coming up next, Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post is going to join us. We'll talk about the Major League Baseball proposal, whether they're actually going to pass this thing, and more. Keep it here. We're the Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Remember, we got kind of a new and improved video page. You can go to thefandc.com/video or videos, and you can see the latest from the show, including some of the weekend stuff. Cakes and I had a chance to do an interview with Max Major, and he pulled off three tricks. Of course, AWOD wanted full ADs and ended up downing a beer and pouring it all over his face.
What a dummy.
He's a mess. The quarantine is not treating him well.
So he got beer all over his apartment? Not that his apartment's clean anyway.
No. He didn't have just one pizza box on the floor. He had two pizza boxes.
He had a Paisano's and he had a Pizza Hut. He's an equal opportunity pizza eater is what he is.
It was a mess. So you can check that out at thefandc.com/video. All right, Bears Veluga joins us from the Washington Post. We wanted to talk about this Major League Baseball proposal. We talked about it, I think, in the 7 o'clock hour of the show today. A couple of the junkies are okay with it. A couple seem to be a little bit annoyed by the proposal. Hey, Barry.
How are you guys?
Yes, I'm annoyed, Barry.
This proposal is very detailed, right?
It's incredibly detailed. I mean, you know, down to overseeing personal behavior like spitting and asking guys not to shower at the ballpark and you know, taking a baseball out of play if it's been touched by more than one player, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think it, just reading through it, it felt like MLB was going over the top in order to say, we have your interests, your health, your safety at the forefront of our mind, and we're not going to put you in a position that will make you uncomfortable health-wise. I do expect that there will be some things, and this is just a guess on my part, that the players will say, man, I mean, there's so many things here that will kind of ruin my routine and inhibit my ability to perform that I'd like to have some rollback. So it's important to remember that this is kind of the beginning of a discussion, not absolutely what's going to happen.
I'm sorry, Eric. I just wanted to follow up. I'm so with you on that. I truly believe that the players are going to reject a lot of it. And baseball is just putting this out there to say that they're kind of to cover their butts. But the rule that they put in that they were going to toss the ball after more than one player touches it, that's every pitch. So are they going to use a different ball for every pitch? Because Max Scherzer is going to throw a ball. It's every pitch.
That's
every play.
A great point. It set a ball in play, so it does seem.
What's
the
difference?
I think I misstated it. So yeah, I mean, it seems rather arbitrary. And then they're also, you know, there's things that we don't even think about that are just part of the rhythm of the game, like throwing the ball around the infield after a strikeout or from the first baseman. That's supposed to be eliminated. No sunflower seeds. All sorts of stuff that I think the players are going to say, like, hey, we appreciate it. We appreciate that you are kind of going over the top here, but
we're good.
And really the guts of it has to be what was the testing protocol? What's the medical stuff? And that is also exhaustive in its detail, and it comes before any of the stuff about the field of play. You know, they're creating a bubble with, you know, people who are considered tier one, the highest group, most essential on-field personnel. Those people are going to be tested multiple times per week. They're taking temperatures twice a day of anybody. So I think what the players are reasonably going to say is, given that we're creating a bubble and that you're also providing tests or the availability of tests for our family members, the people who are living in our house, can we ease back on some of the stuff in the field of play? Because we're going to be a fairly controlled group at that point.
Exactly. I mean, that's the whole point of testing. That's the whole point of testing. So you could just go back to normal. You're gonna, there's always going to be a little bit of risk and contact you come in with some people. But if you're testing every day, just like they do sort of at the White House, right? Yeah. They're testing every day, and those people are going, you know, they're trying to be careful.
But Eric and Barry, I think Major League Baseball had to have known that all right, we're going to set this 67-page proposal up. We know that the players are going to reject a certain
portion. They're just covering their butts. Well, it's just a cover-your-butt thing.
Just remember, like, it's not even like whether they reject it. This is something that they can negotiate off of, right? Like, okay, we find A, B, C, and D are great. We really are into that. Here's E, F, G, H, I, J that we want tweaked or thrown out. And what do you guys say? It's a starting point. And again, I mean, you know, it's just obvious that MLB wanted the starting point to be so that the players couldn't question, like, well, you're putting us at risk to make you guys money, even though obviously the player salaries are at stake here too. So I think what if, and I have a lot of questions about whether they'll actually be able to pull this off, right? But if they do end up playing regular season Major League Baseball games at the beginning of July, I don't think they'll look 100% for sure, but they might not even look 80% or 70% of what this document, what this first proposal looks like.
What is the voting process?
So it's not even right now a vote. It will be a negotiation. It's a collectively bargained thing where the league and the union will have to get back together. They met last, it was Tuesday or Wednesday. I think it was Tuesday for a really long session where essentially, MLB previewed the document for them. They hadn't finalized the document, but they said, here's all the things we're thinking of. And it really was kind of more of a one-way conversation with the league saying, here's where we're starting out. We'll get you the document by the end of the week. They got it to them Friday night. The union kind of goes over it over the weekend. And I'm not sure of the timing of whether they're going to, I'll find out later today, whether they're getting together today or tomorrow. But There is a little bit of time pressure on these negotiations because, you know, whatever it is, it's May 18th. If they want to start spring training at the beginning of June, a couple weeks from now, then players have, you know, all sorts of logistics to figure out. Teams have to figure out, are we among the clubs that could have spring training in our home parks or our local rules and restrictions too strict for that? Do we have to start in Florida? All of that stuff has to get sorted out. And we haven't even gotten to the money question yet, which is once they agree to whatever the health and safety protocols are, they're going to have to get into the economics of it. And there's a big potential dispute about that.
Yeah, Bear, there was a headline that came out a few days ago that MLB is projecting a loss of $640,000 per game without fans. Is that, does that seem to be an accurate figure? Is there blowback about that statement came out?
Yeah, so any number that's put out there like that is coming from ownership / baseball side, and the union is going to say, well, that's financial semantics. It's actually not that much, and that's what the crux of all of these CBA, you know, kind of the regular CBA negotiations. Always have to do with, like, well, players saying the ownership hasn't opened the books to us completely. We don't know what the revenues are. We think they're hiding revenues. You know, there's financial semantics involved, blah, 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 blah. In general, the number that's most commonly out there is that for MLB, which Forbes' most recent estimate is a $10.7 million business, 40% of that revenue comes from attendance and attendance related things like concessions and parking. And that makes sense because it is, you know, there's so much inventory. Every team has 81 home games. It's not as made for TV as the NFL where, you know, the TV package drives everything there. I think that the percentage of revenue from 8 home dates is, you know, much less than 40% that baseball is claiming. And so that's where they're going to get the argument is, and the March agreement that they came to, MLB is claiming doesn't address games without fans. the players are saying, wait, we have an agreement about if there's a partial season played out, we need to get a prorated version of our salaries. That's going to be the coming fight if they can get through the health and safety stuff.
And also on the proposal, they talked about only the players that are playing, like, so let's just say the starting nine that are playing on the field will sit in the dugout, and the other guys, the bench players, will sit in the stands. I mean, I can't imagine that the players would go for that, because they also, I don't think they stipulated whether or not when a first baseman is holding a runner on first, he doesn't have to be 6 feet away.
So you know? that's where there's kind of, you know, incongruencies, like stuff where it's in the course of play, a shortstop and a second baseman, you know, close to each other as they do a double play transition with a runner right on top of them.
Right.
Obviously a catcher and an umpire. But then they're saying, like, you know, a first or a third base coach can't go close and consult with a runner. Also, you know, I mean, taking it as far as, like, if you're giving signals, which in baseball is done, you know, through a series of hand gestures and, you know, often involving touching your face, they're not supposed to touch your face anymore. So, I think those are all examples of MLB being like, how can we take this as far as possible, probably understanding that a lot of it's going to get ramped back. And I also think, Eric, that or Jason, that the kind of the stuff in the dugout and you know, having guys spread out everywhere, mm-hmm. these guys are going to be – they're going to be saying, like, no, you know, part of being – a team and part yes. of playing the game is in baseball, you know, you study stuff from the bench, you pick up things from the bench, yeah. you know, looking at a pitcher and discussing what does this guy have? That's part of the discourse. And I think that players will say, like, we can't put our best product out there unless we have some of this stuff relaxed.
Yeah.
Right. It's just crazy. Here's the thing, and it's going to be interpreted as political, and I don't mean it to be, but everything is with this virus. The information is changing, Barry. Like, the World Health Organization at one point said the overall death rate was like 3.4%. As we're doing all these serology tests and everything else, and we're finding out, especially with people under the age of 70 and 60, it's... I know people hate it when you say it, but I mean, I could point to study after study where the death rate is very similar to the flu. In other words, people under 60 have next to no risk of dying from this. We're going way over. I feel like we haven't updated our file on the information. 2 months ago, these scenarios might have made more sense than they do today, in my opinion.
So I think I understand what you're saying, but yeah. I think part of what you're saying is that 2 weeks, a month, 2 months from now is unknowable. So, and how we'll feel about it and what the numbers will show and whether there's an impact from states that are opening, you know, and I'm not saying too quickly, but some people would say too quickly, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I think if you go back to baseball, I know for sure that they want to be seen as modeling behavior that it would be deemed appropriate, even if it's over the top. Now, again, we don't know if there are baseball games in 6 or 7 weeks, are there going to be players who are socially distant in their own dugout and bench players like strewn about the stands? I find that a little bit far-fetched, but I do think that there will be some things that, you know, I think that coaches probably will have to wear masks. They're not competing if they're going to be consulting with players and not close to each other. I think that in the television broadcast and the product that they're sending out, they're going to want to be able to say, we're doing this responsibly. I mean, think about the NASCAR event that went off yesterday. That's not a group of people that you would normally think would be okay with, you know, all the crew members wearing masks and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they were very conscious of what are the messages we're sending? Are we going to receive criticism because we were being irresponsible? And more than that, modeling irresponsible behavior to a national audience. That's where I think some of this is, it's perception as much as it is reality.
So that all being said, Barry, do you think this is going to get off the ground by they want to start spring training June 10th? I say no way.
I just think I've learned, and this is a terrible way to live life, but I've learned to skew pessimistic about any of these plans. You know, NASCAR and the PGA Tour are, those are traveling circuses that the entire, you know, in NASCAR's case, 40 teams, in the PGA Tour's case, 156 players, which are their own individual teams. They're all in one place, and they go to another place, and they go to another place, and it's very contained. Having 15 baseball games a night in dealing with state governments that are going to have a wide variety of rules and regulations. I mean, you're talking about five teams in California where, you know, Gavin Newsom, the governor, has been very aggressive about, you know, or being very reluctant and skeptical of the return of pro sports, even without fans. Then you're moving all those teams to spring training facilities in Florida and Arizona, which obviously are two of the more open states at the moment. There's so much logistically that goes into this, including, you know, the testing protocols and creating almost a military, what was described to me as like a military level, you know, quarantine or bubble where the security is that tight. If they're able to pull it off, it's going to be with a ton of effort, and it's going to have to be with a ton of buy-in from a group of players that's 1,200 strong and has a wide variety of opinions and reactions to all of this.
Yeah.
Barry, always appreciate the time and insight. That's Barry Zwerluga from The Washington Post.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Barry.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep. Good talking to you. Who was it that came on the show? Actually, I think it was FP on Saturday. FP thinks they don't even need spring training.
Well, he was basically saying the guys just need to be ready to go at the drop of a hat.
Well, you're just going to have spring training.
Look, he's a guy who played in the league. He said he thinks it's overrated. They're in shape, that they don't need a full spring training.
He's also not a pitcher. They maybe not need a full pitcher. Nobody said full. But pitchers are going to need weeks to ramp up.
He said these guys should have been throwing, hitting, doing whatever they're doing every day.
But they might not have.
They'd be ready to go.
At least if you have another spring training, you can monitor.
Don't kill
that.
The messenger.
I'm just debating.
Santangelo said.
I'm just reacting to what he said. I'm not debating.
Doesn't mean he's right.
I think it doesn't necessarily have to be 3 weeks, but they need to get back in shape somehow. You know, stretching, swinging the bat. Obviously, pitchers have got to go out and get their work in. So I think they. And they absolutely will. I mean, they're going to start spring training. They want to June 10th. Now, I don't know if that's going to start on that date, but they want to.
All right, coming up next, Evie, you can fill us in on the Caller Daddy girls because I'm not familiar with them.
Well, we don't have to if you're not into it.
We'll get into it. I just saw the New York Post article. We can get into that next here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Earlier in the show, Valdez revealed his new bald look. You can go follow us on Twitter at Junks Radio to see the pictures. And there is a poll, and a lot of people have responded with various GIFs. Valdez, how do you feel about yourself? I'm sure you've seen a lot of the Twitter responses.
I think I'm going to shut it down for about a week.
Oh, really?
Why, what's the...
I already know I'm ugly. And I don't need people to tell me.
He's in a bad spot right now.
Oh, man.
Trust me, I wasn't happy. Trust me, when I was doing it, I wasn't going, oh, this is going to make me look so super sexy.
Yeah, but you did knew you'd get some ADs. So you did the calculation.
Trust me, I didn't want to bring it up. I wanted to just gloss over it. And when you guys got back, maybe I'd have hair by then.
You know, a lot of GIFs of like Freddy Krueger, Deadpool guy, Michael Jordan laughing.
People are just mean. People are mean on Twitter, especially on social media.
I should have just waited until I could have gotten real clippers or went to a hair cuttery.
Some of them do make me laugh. Is it Gollum? I'm not even aware.
Gollum, yeah. I mean, Lord of the Rings. I mean, people are just vicious. Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to support Valdez, look, there's 13% that say silly Valdez. Nah.
That's just me voting about 23 times.
Voting yourself.
Can you actually vote more than once?
Always solid.
No, that was just the zing.
Yeah.
I have no idea. So, EB, fill me in on these girls. I've heard you talk about them before. So they were on Barstool. I guess they were somewhat popular.
Super popular.
Well, they have the number one rated female podcast in the country.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, basically, it's just blatant sex talk. And they talk about ways to do various sex positions and relationship ideas. And
so
how
similar to the show which Brett did with, who was it, with Hillary Duff? Didn't he do a show with Hillary Duff or something? Cosmo Radio?
No, but he did it with the girl
Topanga.
Topanga.
Oh, okay. Topanga.
He did it with Topanga.
I don't remember her real name.
No, this is 10 times more graphic.
Danielle Fisher.
Yeah.
Fischel.
It's the most graphic sort of titillate. Like, Cakes wouldn't be able to keep his pants on if he listened to this show.
You're probably
Cakes'
right.
History.
Yeah.
Of Cakes driving to the Borgata before and listening to Playboy Radio and nearly having to pull over.
Yeah. He did that, multiple times.
Yeah.
I did show restraint.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Yeah, but so, when you got to the Borgata, you went right to the room and you took care of the beeswax.
That may have happened. That
right.
may have been
just
a possibility.
Like just like the girl says in the rejoiner, time to get down to biz. Yeah.
So one of these chicks was banging Noah Syndergaard?
Yes. So they're two hot chicks. The one that was banging Syndergaard actually used to play soccer at BU. She was a Division I soccer player. Mm-hmm. The other girl's just like this, you know, super hot girl from like Utah. They became best friends. They start this podcast. It's all just over the top talking about how to do certain things, how to cheat on your boyfriend, how to catch your boyfriend cheating. They just sort of embrace all of the edgy sort of things about like young sex, right? And the show just blew up, became a massive hit. Apparently, just from
and
reading.
So they were underpaid based on that because I think
Well, I guess so.
Since they were paid $75,000 a year plus like some sort of weird incentive where if they get 10,000 or 10% more listeners than usual, they get a $2,500
bonus. Put it this way. The show was such a hit that their little bonus structure that they had worked in was netting them $500,000 a year each. Mm. Okay.
It's a pretty good bonus structure.
The thing had only
Can we volunteer for that bonus structure? Look,
yeah.
My hand's up. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready to do that.
The show had only been on the air for like, I don't know, a year and a half or something. It had barely been on the air, and it just blew up, millions of downs. So one of the girls, turns out, is now dating this like HBO executive, and he's decided that the girls, this is allegedly, he's decided that the girls are underpaid. So he basically was trying to get them to break their contract.
Right.
And they haven't been doing their show for like the last month or two, and people are wondering what's going on. Barstool just lost their most popular podcast, and turns out Portnoy, El Prez, did an emergency, I guess, Call Her Daddy podcast. He hosted it himself yesterday, and he explained what's going on, and he actually cut them a deal where he offered them $500,000 each in guaranteed salary and then bonuses, and they could have the intellectual property. And one of the girls wants to take the deal, and the other girl that's dating the HBO exec,
yeah.
They went from living with each other and being besties to now not even speaking to each other. So
I mean,
it's a crazy
turn of events.
Crazy turn of events.
I mean,
if you've ever listened to the show, you realize this is wild.
I mean, if you're getting offered $500,000 from Barstool, and they're going to give you the intellectual property.
And bonus structure and all that other stuff, too.
You're not going to go back and take that money?
Well,
and then you know you're going to make more in the future. What are you doing?
Because I think they're cutting deals. They're trying to cut deals. They got it in their heads. They can make more, even. So, anyway, who knows? It's kind of fascinating gossip. It's radio stuff. So, I know Valdez and I, we kind of been getting a kick out of seeing what's going on with that. The interesting little tidbit is that the two co-hosts now, which often happens in radio, I'm not going to say they hate each other, but they're
right.
not speaking to each other.
Yeah, they're not on speaking terms.
They went from living together and appearing to be BFF to now not even talking to each other.
Right.
And one wants to do the show and the other one, I guess, doesn't. Yeah. So, fascinating.
It's a crazy turn of events. Go back and get that money from El Presidente.
Is this Ryan Seacrest? What was the other donk's name?
Dunkelman.
Dunkelman, where maybe one of the chicks goes back, makes money, and the other one is just stubborn.
Yeah, it seems like the one is going to go back.
Right.
She's going to take the deal.
Of course. She can make $500,000.
Guaranteed. And then more on top of it.
Minimum.
Already, it's crazy.
Minimum half mil.
Just call the other chick Dunkelman.
Yeah. Just shows you podcasts can be profitable.
Look, let's clap that up. Podcasts are profitable. That is a good thing.
You've never said that before.
Yeah, I like that.
There's money in that podcasting game, baby. That's a good thing.
All right. I'm going to go outside and find some wood. That's
of course
what I'm
you are.
Yep. Then I'm going to burn.
I'm going to walk my dog for about 7 miles. Tie her ass
cakes,
out.
Bish, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grandnanny up next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.